Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this forum that we have, this fellowship that we have, Lord. And I thank you that prayers are being answered all the time. We have all kinds of praise reports of the prayers being answered from the saints. And we just thank you for it, Lord. You're a mighty and gracious God that loves us, and we love you, Lord. And I ask, Father, that some mighty things come out tonight, that we get some things straight, and hopefully people's eyes and ears will be open. We ask that you open our eyes and ears to receive what you have for us, Lord, and I praise you for it. I thank you, Lord, that it looks like the world is going to hell in a handbasket, Lord, but I know that you're in control. I know that our prayers, all of our prayers, are being answered as far as the government is concerned. And but it looks like that there's a lot of nasty stuff going on out there, and we're believing that the Red Sea is going to come over all of that nasty stuff, Lord. And we just praise you for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing. I don't know what you've got planned for the eclipse. Looks like a lot of things are lining up. So I ask for some dreams and visions to show us what's going on, Lord. And we praise you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for all you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, okay. We got any prayer requests? I want y'all to agree with me. We've got people here locally praying, and I'd like to get as many praying as we can and believing with me for my grandson, Blake. Did I tell y'all this the other night on the conference call about Blake? Okay. He was found. Somebody dropped him off at a local hospital at 3 a.m. the other day. I don't remember what day it was. It must have been, what's today, Thursday? It must have been yesterday. And dropped him off at 3 a.m., and he was out of it. He had overdosed on drugs. And they took him in, and I didn't find out about it until that next morning, or later on that morning. And we started praying for him. And what had happened, he had heroin, shot up heroin, and ate meth. And that's pretty bad stuff when you do that, because what happens, it generally kills him. It generally kills him. It put him into a coma. And we prayed. He came out of it. And today, he left the hospital, and he went to a motel. I don't know where he got the money or anything. Those guys, when they're on dope, they get money. You know, they steal it, whatever. I don't know. But the demons drive them. It's not Blake. That's not Blake. But we know that it's the demons. Anyway, he called my wife, and she talked with him for a minute. And he hung up on her because she was trying to get him to go back. But this other lady that's a friend of my daughter's was able to get a hold of him, and she works for the police department in another city. And she was able to talk to him until they could locate him on the phone. And they picked him up and put him back in the hospital in a psych ward, where he can't get out for at least 4 days. So he's going to be there for 4 days. But In the meantime, while he was in the hospital the first time, we started praying for him, and we prayed for him, and I believe the Holy Spirit told me that he was going, when he comes out of this, he's going to be on fire for God. But when he got out and went to that motel, the first thing he did was got some dope, and shot up again. They found 7 kinds of drugs in that boy. I say boy, he's 22, I think. 22 years old. And He's in a hospital now, and he's in a good place right now where he needs to be. But what I did, I asked the Lord earlier. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, are you going to visit him? Are you going to, first I asked him, are you going to save him out of this mess he's in right now? Are you going to bring him into the kingdom right now? And I didn't get an answer. But then I asked him, I said, are you going to visit him while he's in there now? And he told me yes, and I got a confirming word on that. So God's going to do a mighty work in him. The other night when I was praying for him, the Holy Spirit was all over me, and I know that God's fixing to do a work in him. But I would ask that all of you believe with me. Lord, I just thank you for the work that you're going to do in him while he's in this hospital. And Lord, when he comes out, he's going to have a new attitude. He's going to have a new body. He's going to have a new mind. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you that you have got a mind of Christ now, that he's going to give him a mind of Christ. You're going to touch his body, heal his body, deliver him from all of that mess, Lord. I know you've done it before, and you'll do it again. And I thank you, Father, that this is what's going to happen to Blake. And I pray, Lord, that you set him on fire for God, that he would be the catalyst that brings his twin brother into the kingdom as well, Lord, and his sister further into the kingdom, Father, and all of his kinfolk in, Lord, because I know when you anoint him with that with the Holy Spirit, that boy is going to be on fire for you, Lord. I know it because you showed me many years ago that he's going to be one of yours and a preacher. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to make a great evangelist out of him. Not that he's going to be well known, but one that loves you, and that he's going to bring other people of like mind into the kingdom because he's been through it. And I thank you, Father, that you're doing a mighty work in that boy, in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all believe that with me?
Amen.
Amen. Anybody else want to pray? Well, all right. That boy, he's got a job to do when he gets out. Thank you, Lord. But I'll keep you abreast as to what he's doing, what's going on with him. All right.
I've got something, Michael.
Yes, sir, Ken.
Yeah, I've got a nephew. I've got a brother who has three children, and they're all grown now. And he had two girls and a boy, and the two girls got married few years back, and I went to the wedding, and the wedding, they had a what I would call a druid priestess do the ceremony, and it was really, really bad. It was not Christian at all.
Wow.
Yeah, and now the boy's getting married, and this lady happens to be their aunt on their mother's side. And so they always call her up. And now the boy's getting married, and he's doing the same thing. He's getting that druid priestess to preside over the ceremony. And I would like to have him woke up. And I've told him about it, but I emailed him because he lives in North Carolina, mm-hmm. and I live in Michigan. So I could just email him. And I didn't hear nothing back with him, so I don't think he's gonna take heed my advice and finding someone else, being that it's his aunt and everything. But I would like the Lord to intervene in that and speak to him and put some wisdom in him about that, because he shouldn't be getting married. I mean, he's a nominal Christian at best, you know. He doesn't know any better. So
yeah.
So I'd like to pray for that.
Okay.
So Lord, I ask you to please to put some wisdom in the young man. He's 28 and he should know better, but we all, you know, we all travel to you at different times and different, you know, different seasons. So Lord, I want you to, I would like you to ask you to talk to him and show him that that's not the best way to go about this. I mean, marriage is, it's from you, Lord, and he should know that, and not to be worshiping trees in the nature and all that, you know, baloney, you know, this the mother nature stuff, and It's not of you whatsoever. You created all that, but that's not. It's not. It's a false religion, false God, false everything. So I'd like you to intervene, Lord, and give him a dream, or give him his wife, his fiancée, a dream. Let her say something about it, because I don't know a whole lot about her. But I ask this in Jesus' name. I don't know that. You know, I'm not sure that I'm going to be going all the way to the ceremony or anything. I've got an old truck, and I don't think it would be tired. It's a tired truck, and I don't know if it wants to go all that way. But I might go. I might catch a ride with my other brothers. We'll see what happens. But by that time, though, it'd be too late already. I'm sure he's going to, go on through with the ceremony the way it is scheduled. So that's all I have.
Okay. Well, do you mind if I pray?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come against this druid priestess or priest or whatever it is, and we command it to stand down and not be able to do the ceremony. And Father, we thank you that you already have somebody in mind to do the ceremony for this 28-year-old boy. And we praise you, Father, that you're going to have a good Christian wedding for him, and it's going to be a wake-up call to this boy and his bride-to-be, Father, and we thank you for it. I don't know how you can do it, Lord, but I know you can do it, and I know you will do it because we prayed the prayer of faith and that you're going to stop this play-like wedding. Lord, I know it's not of you. It's of the devil, and I thank you, Lord, that our prayers are going to stop it. You're going to stop it. And you're going to allow a good Christian man to marry this couple in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Yeah, good prayer, Michael. Thank you very much. Amen.
Okay, Leon.
Well, I want to pray for that druid priestess. I pray that she gets saved and comes to the Lord and comes to a knowledge of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And then she can do the Christian wedding in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, I'd rather have a man do it. Just saying. But anyway, praise God, Lord. We know that you're going to intervene here in Jesus' name, ever how you want to do it, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Okay, anybody else? All right, what about a praise report? Testimony. A song. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
I got one the other day. Out of the blue, someone at work said, trying to make fun of me, saying, yeah, because the end of the world's coming, right, Andrew? And I said to him, well, it's not going to be the actual ball of mud, but the end is coming. And I also added to that, that there's a lot of wrong things going on in this world, and that's part of the end. And so he was trying to mock me a little bit there by saying that, and I really haven't talked to them about anything since the last altercation with creation there. So he was trying to get me going, and it didn't work, and that was great. So
yeah, it gave you an open door, didn't it?
Yeah. And, I just didn't affect me like it would in earlier. Like it was sort of, they were trying to get me going, trying to get my goat. And I just found that that easy answer ended the whole conversation before it would have got into more of a, because they don't believe at all.
Yeah. Sounds like an old goat's dying. Amen.
No votes here, man. We're on the other side.
Amen.
Speaking of sheep, you know, we were talking about wolves yesterday, and I was I just read something in the book of Revelation there about a lamb that has two horns but speaks like a dragon. And I'm going, what's going to happen when the wolf changes into a dragon in sheep's clothing? And, you know, I remember reading that once, and I said, Lord, you think that's going to scare the wolves out of the sheep's clothing and just make them sheep? In other words, vomit up that wolf and become real sheep now? And because this is a dragon in sheep's clothing. And I was just picturing the picture of that book there, you know, that is on site, the very front cover of the little wolf's mouth coming right out of the sheep's there. And I was picturing that wolf coming right out of him and being a regular sheep, because there's another sheep over there with a dragon in his mouth. So that's what I'm kind of hoping for those wolves to finally flee from this, to come out of these people who are supposed to be sheep anyway, so that they can come to the Lord.
Well, we're going to see some of them do that.
Yeah.
I believe it. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Matt.
I have kind of a little, I guess it'd be a little testimony and something to pray into as well. At my work, you know, they schedule breaks where nobody gets a break with another employee. Normally they're separate time, so you get your break by yourself. So today, the Lord worked things out where I got a break with another employee at the same time. So him and I went out to eat at a restaurant there in Lenoir City, and he was asking about, you know, my church and my religion, and I was explaining a little bit to it, you know, and I believe the Lord's just kind of opening up his mind a little bit there, you know, because I was explaining to him, you know, it's not a normal church, the one you think of anyways, you know, and I just want to pray that the Lord will use that and that seed will grow a little bit, and maybe we'll have some more questions in the future, you know. So, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to share a little bit with Clarence at work, Lord. We pray that that seed that was planted today, though maybe it'll be a little seed, Lord, that it will grow into a big tree, Lord. And that he'll have more questions and be a little curious and draw his curiosity, Lord. Draw him closer to you, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Yeah, it's opportunities like that to bring people in. Okay. Anyone else?
You know, Matt, that's what happened to me. It was at my workplace that someone confided in me. And this was a real long drawing, though. And I had 101 questions for this guy, you know. And I can remember that start. And it could work very possibly that he could be right in here.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, go ahead, Missy.
Well, I just wanted to say that the enemy has been still trying to convince me that I'm not healed. You know, when you prayed for me about those headaches and, you know, my back and everything, that spirit of scoliosis. Anyway, I've been getting attacked a lot with that. And yesterday I had one of those headaches, but the two times before that, you know, I just, you know, fight the enemy and, you know, rebuke him and so on and so forth. But two times before yesterday, tried to come on me and didn't get very far, and it went, you know. Yesterday, I was fighting it it started to go, and then and I thought it was gone, and then it came back, you know. And I was sitting out with Fudge, letting her do her business, and I thought I said this before, you know, but anyway, I don't remember exactly what it was that I said. I said, "You lying spirit," I said, "you must go now." I said, "you don't have authority over me. I have authority over you." And I don't know what all was I said, but I know those were some things that I had commanded it at some point yesterday. I think that's what but I remember specifically when I said that, about, called it a lying spirit, you know. I mean, it was like that. It just like went. And I was like, whoa, you know? I was like, praise the Lord. So, I mean, he's defeated. The enemy's defeated. The spirit's defeated, you know? So, I mean, I think, I don't know. There must have been something in what I said. I mean, I've been persistent and being authoritative and being like, no, you're not doing this to me. I have, you know, but anyway, but it just like that, it went, you know, so it's,
it's getting tired of messing with you.
Yeah. So I was like, whew, thank you, Lord.
Amen. So. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
We believe it too.
Yep. I'm healed.
He's all
just
right.
A lion spirit.
Amen. Okay. Anybody else? I've got a little bit of a testimony here. When Jeanette would call me this last time with Blake leaving the hospital, she was all anxious. And I said, and there were some other things going on in other parts of the family. And I said, look, we prayed the prayer of faith for their salvation. And what we're seeing here, and most of you know this, what we're seeing here is God doing a work in them. Now, it's our job and our duty to just kick back and rest and allow God to do his work in them. And that's what we do. Well, what happens if this? Well, what happens if this? I said, well, what happens if God fell off a throne? Is he going to do that? Well, no. I said, we know what we've prayed, so don't worry about it. Just don't get anxious about it. Don't get fearful about it. Just believe what the Word of God says. And so that's what we do. Well, this conversation didn't last long. Sometimes, but I did call her back and talk some more to her, and she's a lot better than she was earlier. She was real anxious and fearful for Blake and some other people in our family that are going through some stuff. So anyway, we did come to an agreement. Thank you, Lord. She's just now learning faith. And so she doesn't understand every aspect of it. And when these trials come up, you know, God's going to test us all to make sure that we stand in our prayers. Yeah, Andrew.
Today's the 17th day, and I usually try to read one of these Proverbs a day. And actually, I can say on the sixth verse here, I actually did think of your grandchild, Blake. Because there it says, children's children are the crown of old men. And, you know, in your crown, you do get jewels for serving the Lord. And the glory of children are their fathers. And you are a grandfather here, and we have an almighty father. And I just thought of Blake while I was reading that verse, and of you, Mike, and that's all. You know, that, I was just reading that, and I, you know, you mentioned Blake a few times, and I just thought of you, and you've prayed this prayer, and it's going to be a jewel in your crown for bringing this child to salvation, whether by prayer or however it's going to be.
Amen.
Whether you have to talk to him again.
Amen. I believe it too. I appreciate that, Andrew. I'm going to write that down and put them with the rest of them. Missy got one, and Debbie Horton got one, and a few others got some. I'll tell you what, guys, it's almost mind-boggling to me, the response that I've had during this little trial here. It's just amazing of the love of God's people for his people. And I want to thank everybody for your prayers. I tell you what, I almost broke down because it's just awesome. It's just awesome, the love that flows when there's a need, you know. It's just awesome. I appreciate it. I really do. Thank you, Andrew, Missy, and Leon, and all of you. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Leah.
Michael, I wanted to share that, like I said in the text that I sent you, Merle was in the middle of mowing, and when I saw that on the blog on my phone, and I told him about it, and I read it to him and all, and he just started praying. He started praying before I did, and so that just blessed me. So I just wanted to let you know that. And he prayed first, and then I prayed, and so.
Yeah, well, give him a big old hug for me.
Okay, I will.
Tell him I appreciate it. I do. I really do. All right. Anybody else? Do you have something, Leah?
Yeah, I just wanted to remind you about that Star 9, in case you wanted to tell everybody about the...
Well, the ones that are on the phones, Star 9 is to raise your hand if you want to talk, or you can just butt in either way. Star 9 on the phone. Of course, those of you on PC, you know how to do it. All right. Anybody else got a testimony, praise report?
That's the way I do. I just butt in.
Yeah, that's okay. That's fine. All right. Anybody else? We got an eclipse coming up. And David, I don't know if y'all saw it or not, the blog, did you see the blog, Missy? That this eclipse, the total eclipse that comes down from Oregon all the way down to North Carolina, there are 7 Salems in the total eclipse from Oregon, Salem, Oregon, all the way down to Salem, North Carolina, and there's 5 more in, I think there's one in Kansas, Missouri, Kentucky, and some other places. I can't remember. But it's amazing how God's did this. You know what Salem means? It means Jerusalem. That's what it means. It means Jerusalem. And think of it this way. This is something David posed, and he said, the Lord has told us, you split Jerusalem, I'm going to split you. Now, what's happening in the United States right now? We've got a separation of people here. We've got the left and we've got the right. And it's becoming wider and wider and wider. And the reason it's doing that is because of people manipulating other people to do these awful things that they did down in Charlottesville. They paid people to go in there and do that. Now, y'all may not believe it, but that's okay. There was an ad in that Charlottesville paper for actors at $25 an hour to be hired for this protest. That was in the paper. It was shown. The ad itself, somebody took a picture of it and put it on the web. But anyway, I believe that Soros and Clinton and Obama is behind all of this. But you know, God said he told us to pray about these things, and he asked us to pray that he would expose these things. And get this, today, David, this morning, asked the Lord, let me see if I, do you remember that verse, Leon, he asked the Lord, Lord, where do you want us to send the angels? What do you want us to send the angels for? And it was in, I believe it was in 2 Chronicles. Do you remember what it was, Leon? Oh, come on, man.
No, but I can go get it real quick.
Well,
you want me to do
it? You remember what it said?
It said, I've given you power, and I want you to do everything, basically. I'm just 2 feet away from that book.
All right. What it said was this. David had his finger on the word, David, go do whatever you feel like doing. And I'm paraphrasing it. Just go do whatever you feel like you need to do. And so I said, he said that? He said, yeah. I said, well, go for it, brother. And we went. Oh, you got it there, Leon? You got
Second
it?
Crown, yeah, 2 Chronicles 17:2.
Yeah, okay. I thought it, well, I was close. No, that's not it.
Sure it is.
17:2? 17:2. No, that's not it.
Okay, well then there's... Hebrews 6:11-16 and Romans 9:17. 1 Chronicles 17:2.
Oh, 1 Chronicles. I thought you said 2 Chronicles.
Oh, I might have.
I was fixing it anyway. Yeah, here it is. David? Here. Okay, Lee, unmute yourself because I'm hearing that microphone hit your beard.
All right.
It said, David, do all that is in thy heart, for God is with thee. Wow, that's right, Missy. That's what I said. Wow, well, okay. David, let's go ahead and do it. And we started sending the angels. He started sending the angels. He told David to do it. So I made him send some to Blake too, and send some to, we sent them wherever we just thought about sending them. Y'all going to see some stuff here. Y'all fixing to see some stuff. Go ahead, Ken. I just now saw your hand up.
What's this UBM blog that you guys have? I've never heard nothing about that.
Well,
it's
just a local. It's for the local fellowship only. We tell secrets on y'all. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's just for the locals, for stuff that we do here locally. You know, like if somebody's going to have a meeting over at their house or somebody's got a car that needs to be done something with, you know, just that typical stuff for a local fellowship is all. And sometimes David, he'll probably put that on the, he'll probably say something about that Sunday. But anyway, he started sending angels, you know, to these various places. Matter of fact, Joe and Nora, we sent angels also to the South African government to start overturning the corruptness up there and to start exposing the evil people and the evil things that they're doing in the government over there. So look for it. It's going to happen. Praise God.
Amen.
So the Lord, you know, and I told David, I said, you know, that sounds like when Moses was up there standing on the banks there of the Red Sea, when he was crying out to God, God said, didn't I tell you that you got the authority? Raise your staff, boy, and part the water yourself. That, you know, and that's kind of the way I took it. And that's what he's doing. He's giving us the authority to send these angels. Praise God. Man, it's getting exciting. I tell you, it is. It's getting real exciting.
Hey, Michael.
Did you guys figure that verse was? I my audio cut out when you guys, after a second.
First Chronicles 17:2. Latter
first
part.
First Chronicles. Okay.
Yeah. Latter part of it.
Thank you.
It starts at David had his finger on David. Said, David, do all that is in thy heart, for God is with thee. Praise God. Yeah. What's that, Chris?
I say, y'all send me some angels the day of the eclipse, because I'll be working in Salem, Virginia.
Oh, amen. Lord, we just thank you for surrounding Chris and everybody that works with him and all your chosen in all of these cities, the Salem cities, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that we know, you know, we pray for all of your chosen, that wherever they are, in whatever condition they're in, you're going to protect them in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Send in your big old warrior angels around Chris. He needs them, Lord. Praise God in them places.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Awesome. Okay.
Well, Michael, what else did David send the angels to do?
Not your business. Oh, I can't remember, Missy, but just let your imagination soar, because you know, it's just local stuff that we've sent the angels to help out with, and I don't remember. I don't know. We just, whatever comes to our mind, that's what we do, you know. Yeah, Leon.
I think he just sent them to do what you just said was the only thing. He said he was going to dispatch them daily. So tomorrow he'll figure out something else to send them to do.
Well, he and I, when he first got that, we sent a bunch of them out then. So I can't remember where we sent them, yeah. But that was this morning in the prayer group. He's getting a corporate, you know, a bunch of them sent out. And I believe it too. Y'all remember that vision I had years ago, Missy, where, David, you might remember it, where I was sitting in, we was in Sweetwater. And we was praying on the back porch. And, well, actually, the first vision I had was of angels just milling about inside the house. And they weren't doing anything. It was just milling about. And I said, what in the world is this, you know? And the Lord told me that time ticket had been punched, but they didn't have nothing to do because the saints wasn't praying. And so we started having prayer meetings on the back porch early in the mornings, and then even David would come over during that period of time, and we'd all pray. That's where the prayer meetings in the mornings got started, over there. And we would pray. And then one morning we were all praying in the spirit, and I was up and walking. I like to walk when I'm praying, and praying in the spirit. And then I saw them angels out there flying just about fruit tree high. And then all of a sudden, when we started praying, they all came down and walked up toward the window. And then I'd see an angel go, see another angel go, and I see another angel go, and I see another angel go. That's the Lord showing us that we are the ones that put the angels to work. We are the hands of God. And when we start praying, that's when them angels got something to do. Praise God. So ever how much you pray is how many angels you got around you. Okay? There was a bunch of them out there, and by the time we were through praying, they was all gone. They all had something to do. And that doesn't mean to say that that's all he had. That's just, we just got through. If you got more prayers to pray, he's got plenty of angels to send out there, because there's a lot of Christians out there that's not praying. But anyway, that's what's happening, and I believe that we've got legions now. This group here and the group locally, we've got legions of angels that we're sending out. And boy, and I'll tell you what, we've seen some mighty miracles. We're going to see some more. This Trump victory was a miracle. That was a miracle. And it was because of God's people praying him in. Praise God. Okay. All right. Anybody else? You're just going to keep on eating, aren't you, Matt? He ain't listening. He ain't listening to a word I said. He just eating. Yeah. Uh-huh. Caught you, didn't I? Hey, what? Well, yeah. Uh-huh. What? I've been talking about you for 5 minutes, and you sitting there eating and feeding your face. Good gracious.
The wife asked me a question, so I was listening to her.
Oh, I understand, man. Let me back off of that one. I just back off of that one real quick. Okay. Well, if there's nobody else got anything they'd like to say or talk about, we decided to speak tonight about or find out tonight about the sons of God, giants, and the Nephilim, Genesis 6 and 4, to be exact, is what I put out on the blog, on the email. And the scripture is this. I'm going to start in verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the ground, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all that they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for that he also is flesh, yet shall his days be 120 years. The Nephilim were in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same were the mighty men that were of old, the men of renown. Okay. Anybody want to tackle that? Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
Well, as soon as I read the email, I went... Where is that scripture verse that has to do with the Sadducees and the woman that's supposed to marry seven guys and not have a child, according to the law of Moses, and not have a child with any of them? Because yep. We talked about this, I don't know how long ago, but that came to remembrance.
Yep.
I guess it may have been the law of liberty, I don't know. Hearing the word, remembering the word, and
amen.
Reminded me.
Well, that's a good one there. That kind of refutes that business about the angels cohabitating with the daughters of men. All right, is that, who is that? Is that Tracy? Is that you? Go ahead, girl.
Hey, Michael. God bless you. God bless you guys. I thought it was interesting. I don't have any, proof besides, when I looked it up myself too, but I find it interesting that the term sons of God in the Old Testament only meant angels, because nobody was really born again yet. In the New Testament, we're all sons of God. So I just thought that was, cool.
Okay. Well, I don't think that's entirely true, but we'll see here. I think I found a place where it did talk about the Son of God.
It's in Job, isn't it?
Yeah, it may be.
What about the argument?
Job chapter 1 and verse 6. Here it is. Now it came to pass on the day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord that Satan also came among them. And what happened? The sons of God are the men that came up there. The Satan accuses them, right? But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will renounce thee to thy face, is 11. That was Satan's job, is to come against man, God's people, God's chosen, and to accuse them. And, of course, Jesus is the mediator. He was even back then. Okay, somebody was talking. I'm sorry. That you, Andrew?
Let's not forget when Jesus confronted the Pharisees and the believers in his day as being sons of God.
Yep.
Yeah, he said you can't refute the scripture verses. And he called them sons of God. And he also taught us to pray, our Father. You know, that, you know, like I said before, it doesn't make you a monkey's uncle. It makes you... Well, they taught me in school I was a monkey's uncle. I have the award for it, actually. I in geography, they were teaching me evolution, and I won the award for it. And the teacher, the last 3 minutes of the class, said, but some people don't believe in this. And one of the students said, well, what do you mean, sir? And he said, well, some people believe in creation. And this was, I just thought it was really nice for him to honor God that way and yeah. Say that. I didn't know anything about God at that time or my salvation, because that was way back in high school. Anyway.
Oh. Okay. Do you have something, Missy?
Yeah, I have an awesome verse. Hebrews 1:5.
Mm-hmm.
For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? This day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son.
Amen.
And then I have another good verse. I think it's Genesis 3:6. I have to look. Genesis 3:20. And it says, and the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. She is the mother of all living. And so, okay, angels are spirits and man are flesh. How can flesh and spirit produce something?
Well, it can't.
It can't.
Where they got all of this is from Jewish mythology, and way back when, and I could go into that, but I'm not going to, because it's just a bunch of garbage. But anyway, you're right. Also in Psalms, which is Old Testament, 82:6, I said, ye are gods, and all of you sons of the Most High. There's another one right there. That's all people he's talking about here. It's people. It's not angels he's talking about. Sons of God are the people. Now, there's a bunch of more. Job... I'm going to quote Job 1 and 6. Now it came to pass on the day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, that Satan also came among them. He immediately began to accuse them to God. And then verse 11, it says, but put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will renounce thee to thy face. Now that's Satan talking. Well, here's the same case in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to be his adversary. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Yeah. The Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Now, verse 3. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take the filthy garments from off him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with rich apparel. That word Joshua in the Hebrew is Jesus, and he represented Jesus, the body of Christ. Paul said the heavenly Jerusalem was the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven in Hebrews 12 and 23. We're seated with Christ in the heavenly places. And we, as the sons of God, present ourselves before him constantly. And here comes Satan tagging along up there, trying to make something out of nothing. He's up there to accuse us. But you know, if you're living and abiding in Christ, you're never out of God's presence. You're always in God's presence. there's David has, he talks about the giants in the scriptures, which is part of that same stuff there. If you remember, back in Genesis 4 and 5, that God separated the line of Seth and the line of Cain. And I'm going somewhere with this now. He separated the line of Seth and the line of Cain in Genesis 4 and 5, just as he separated Israel from the Gentiles and commanded them not to cross, not to be unequally yoked, right? In the New Testament, as we already know, we just said it. Christians are forbidden to marry unbelievers, right? But if you're already married to one, as you know, we are to stay with them and be a light to them. If you'll notice, we're talking about crossing the sons of God and the sons of devil or men, and that's strictly forbidden. And it's talks about it in 1 Corinthians 7:39, Ezra 9 and 2, 10 and 10, 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18. And in all of these cases, when the sons of God fell away, they began to have fellowship with fallen angels, which we call demons or angels of demons. And you know what I'm talking about. It's idols or false Jesuses. Or false this or false that. I'm not talking about the spiritual beings themselves. I'm talking about what they represent. Now, demons did not directly create giants because they can't. There ain't no way they can. They cannot cohabitate with humans. The Lord says in Genesis that like the how's it go? Like species can only cohabitate with like species, okay? That's just the flesh can only cohabitate with the flesh. The spirit has to, there's the spirit world, and then there's the flesh world. They cannot intermingle. There ain't no way you can do that. It just ain't going to happen. The scriptures teaches us that. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. That's what the word of God says. Jesus said that. And a lot of people want to argue that Jesus was born of God. Well, Jesus' spirit was born of God, but his flesh was born of David through Mary, the seed of the woman. Romans 1 and 3 says concerning his son, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, who was declared to be the son of God with power, according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Spirits can inhabit bodies of men that can procreate, but they can't have anything to do with making giants through marrying the daughters of men. There ain't no way. They can't do it. Matthew 22 and 29. But Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. I believe this is what Andrew was referring to earlier. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as angels in heaven. Fallen angels don't procreate man's flesh, but his spirit and soul. Spirits sow a spiritual seed, not a physical one. That Jesus is the Word, who in Matthew 13 sowed the seed of the Word in his people's heart, and that was to bring forth his fruit in them, 30, 60, and 100-fold. And that word for the seed in the Greek out of Matthew is sperma. Demons also sow their sperm in mankind's hearts to bring forth their evil fruit. But this is their spiritual man and not their flesh. Spirits can't procreate with man. Seth, the Son of God, is mentioned in the spiritual lineage of Jesus in Luke chapter 3 and verse 38. The son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. And you're going to notice that God mentions all of Cain's wicked descendants in Genesis chapter 4. And then after that, we're told in verse 25, that's 16 through 24, and then verse 25, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For, said she, God hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, for Cain slew him. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enosh. Then began man to call upon the name of the Lord. That was Seth's line that called upon the name of the Lord. That was the line of the sons of God. Cain's was the son of man line, so to speak. Somebody had their hand raised there a while ago, I thought. Oh, yeah, Ken, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, what about, now I don't believe that they intermingled through sexual means, anything like that. But what about using technology, you know, like the demons, they're like aliens a lot of times, and they use technology, forbidden technology. Could they have messed with the DNA of man to make a giant, you think?
No, David goes on and explains that. How were the giants made? Well, listen to this. If you remember, and I'm just going to try to paraphrase what David says, we had a line of Seth and we had a line of Cain, right? The line of Seth, God strictly forbid them to intermingle with Cain's side. Same way with Cain. They couldn't go over to Seth's side. And so Seth intermingled with his people all of those many years. But then what happened? And they were hundreds of years they did that. They inbred within their own lines. And that wasn't against the command of God at that time. But you know as well as I do, now with the curse on us like that, in nature, this deteriorates the line and you get a lot of messed up stuff. In other words, it's illegal for us to marry. I don't remember how far removed you can do that. I know the first and second cousins, you can't marry them. According to legality, legalism, law, or whatever. I know some people do that, but it's actually against the law in a lot of states. But, and there's a reason for that, because the line messes up. Anyway, what happened, it deteriorates the line as the curse becomes stronger and stronger on the land. They become weaker, they become smaller, they become less intelligent. And wherever there has been an inbreeding today, the descendants are sickly in mind and body. Now, when the sons of God back in those days back then began to fall away, some of them became inhabited by demons, okay? This also happened in Israel and Christianity because history always repeats. When after years of inbreeding, the fallen sons of God and the sons of men crossed, making what is called in nature hybrids. Because you've got one line that's been inbred for hundreds of years. You've got another line that's been inbred. I don't know if you know it, but if you take a dog that's been in that same pedigree for so many years, that dog becomes squirrely after a while. I mean, that breed is not really a good breed after a while because there's so much inbreeding. But if you would cross it with another breed, that dog becomes real smart in a lot of instances. That's just nature. And the same thing happened back then, according to what David is talking about him. They were bigger, stronger, and more intelligent because as hybrids, they end up with the better physical characteristics of both lines. And later in the law, God forbid inbreeding, at least with close relatives. And of course, like I said, cousins are even a no-no now. You can't do that anymore. And so the further away from Adam you go, the more it's pronounced on this inbreeding stuff. That curse is really prevalent now. But back in those days, it wasn't that prevalent, you know. The curse was gradual and increased as time went by. And that's what brought in the giants of the old, Goliath and all of that kind of stuff. Anyway, does that make sense to everybody? It did to me. Anybody got any questions on that? Is your hand raised, Kent?
Yeah, I've got one. It was, but you're not paying attention to me, so I got to butt in.
Okay, yeah, go right ahead.
Not too long ago, about the military. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it wasn't too long ago that it was leaked out that the military killed a giant, a modern-day giant, in Afghanistan. A big, big, big guy. I mean, he's come out of the cave, has anyone heard about that at all?
Yeah, I hadn't seen it, but I'd heard about it.
Yeah. Well, where did that giant come from then? I mean, I think he was in the, you know, I mean, how did that giant come about?
I don't know. I didn't really get to see the giant myself. I don't know if it's true or not. I heard about it. No. I don't know, you know. I'd heard that Watchmanee came across one time in a cave up way up in the mountains of Tibet. Came across this old guy that was about 300 years old, and this great big giant thing jumped up there on him, or jumped out there. And, you know, I don't know if y'all ever heard about that.
But the two breedings that you just got done speaking of wouldn't apply to that unless they're very, very, very old giants, you
well,
know.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
You know what I mean?
You got an answer? You know, yeah. You know, they're doing all kinds of...
I don't have an answer.
They're doing
unless,
all... Go ahead.
I was just going to say they do have skeletal remains of large, very large people, really large. So, and they estimate them, you know, they could be 30 feet tall, some of them. So, you know, there were really large people.
I'm not
saying they came from angels. I'm just saying they were there. So, I don't know if we have any answer for that.
I don't know if it's the same one I saw or the same one that David was talking about earlier. But there's one famous one that you see with these archaeologists around this big deal there. That was Photoshop. That was Photoshop. And they had the original photo where that came about. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I don't have all the answers on these giants. I'm just, we're throwing out stuff here that, yeah, Andrew.
There's been some really tall people. Like I've seen some too. Like I'm 6'4", and if I have to look up at someone, I know that's a pretty tall person. I always wonder where they buy their pants, you know, because I want to get a good deal on some pants too, because I need the right length. Anyways, Emperor Maximus was over 8 feet tall, you know, and Goliath too was a tall person too. You know, he would be considered a giant compared to little David, and of course there's in Numbers 13:33, when there were the giants in the land. They mentioned when they went from the wilderness to the spies went out and they were like grasshoppers and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And so there was some big people there, that's all. And, you know, I can tell you there's some big people out there. I'm not saying that I'm a giant or anything, but when I have to look up at someone, they're pretty big.
Absolutely. There was a guy that was the largest guy on just in recent history. He was well over 8 foot, almost 9 foot tall. Harry something or other. He was 8 foot, 9 inches tall or something like that. Humongous guy. But I believe that some of these things y'all may be talking about could have come from those associations from way back then. You know, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is on that stuff. You know, you got some men now that are well over 7 foot playing basketball, you know.
Well, the guy in the giant they killed in Afghanistan was the full six-fingered giant, you know. And the helicopter come and took him away. No, none of that. I mean, I didn't see it happen or nothing, but. That's what was leaked out to the military.
Where did
that guy come from?
How high did they say he was? How tall?
I don't remember, but it was. I could find that for you, and we could. Let me look around.
That's okay. Yeah.
Okay.
That's okay. He was big boy. I remember that. I remember he was a big one. Okay, go ahead, Jeremy. I'll get you in a minute, David.
I'm on a little windy road. Sorry about that. You know, to me, God changes not. And Jesus Christ was the Word. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me ask you a question. And I don't know if I asked you guys this before or not, but, you know, we're all familiar with Greek mythology. Can somebody give me a Greek god? Can you give me a Greek mythology? Can somebody name one of those for me?
Well, Zeus was one.
Okay, Zeus. Okay. And what about a Nordic god? Like a Nordic legend.
Thor?
Okay, great. What about an Irish myth?
Yeah.
Can you give me an Irish myth?
Leprechaun.
Leprechaun. Now tell me a Jewish fable.
I don't know.
So why does Paul say don't pay heed to Jewish fables? See, to
that's right.
Paul saying don't pay attention to that. Because I can't think of one Jewish fable, and where does that come in? The Torah. So, specifically, you know, I look at it as whatever strengthens Jesus Christ is the way I want to go on that. And if it doesn't strengthen my faith in Christ, then it's pointless. I count it all lost. It's an interesting topic, but there are people that will be lost in it. You know, you'll get lost literally researching all this stuff. For instance, L.A. Marzulli and Steve Quayle. Don't get me wrong. They're entertaining. You know, but at the same time, you get lost in it. And it takes your focus off Christ to be a concern of the world. Because it's a very worldly topic. I mean, you could take all of their research and make a great Hollywood flick with it. So, to me, it's a Jewish fable, right? And it, you know, the genealogy is interesting. But then again, we're not supposed to talk about vain and endless genealogy. Because it's an endless debate. So
well,
that's my 2 cents.
Yeah, that's fine. The thing that we wanted to do tonight was to show the fallacy in the Nephilim and the Steve Quayle stuff and Missoula and all of that bunch. They're just going down rabbit trails and it doesn't mean anything, you know. So, yeah, but it, like you said, it's an interesting topic. I remember the first time I came across it was in Dake's Annotated Bible. He had an article in there on the Nephilim, and he embraced it. That's Finus Dake. And Man, I had to chunk that Bible a long time ago. That was a good, that's a big old Bible too, man. That thing was that thick. Man, it was pretty. That cost me a bunch of money. I had to throw that thing away. That thing had a bunch of nasty stuff in there. Boy, I'm going to tell you. So I learned real quick not to go off on these rabbit trails. And you're right. All right, anybody else got anything else on these sons of God and daughters of men? Yeah, Dave.
I think we're forgetting one thing about this that could be a cause, and I just stumbled on it in my head. Because of the curse, this could have been a disease. We still see that disease today taking place once in a while in people. And I was trying to look it up real quick. They call it giganticism, or it might be more a more scientific term, but where people just keep growing and growing and growing. And then there's like some guy over in China now, and there's a couple of people you can find on the internet where they are just excessively large people. And this might have been a curse on just some of these people, and it might have been a line of people that kind of a curse. So that could be somewhat of a valid description of what we see here.
Amen.
But these people that you're talking about, though, are very sickly, and they're not super athletes like the Giants were back then. So.
Well, hold on. Wait a minute. Andre the Giant died of that.
The
last couple
giant?
Of years of his, of that gigantic thing he's talking about. Where I'm serious. His metabolism got so big, or he actually grew to where he grew to death. He literally did. So, and he was wrestling and doing all sorts of stuff until like the last 3 years of his life, and his heart just gave out. So,
are you talking about Andre the Giant? That guy. Oh yeah.
You know, so there are guys that are have that that aren't necessarily just sickly. That's a good take on it, though. You know, that it could possibly be a curse.
I would say that back years ago, maybe that generation, if they had that, probably didn't have all the sickness and disease they have today. So I can't see people getting better over time. Probably got worse with this kind of disease. You know, if they did have it, and they might have been healthier beings back then.
Well yeah, because that was the beginning of the curse. We're at the end of the curse now, and we got to deal with all the stuff that goes along with the curse. You know, I want to put something out there also. Let's talk about some types and shadows here of the whole thing that we've been talking about tonight. The harlot are these daughters of men who receive the seed of the fallen sons of God to bring forth the giants of renown. You know, it says that back in Genesis chapter 4. The famous men. Think about the famous leaders of Christianity now. The word is clear that you can't be famous and be a true Christian leader. You can be infamous because the world will hate you. This word renown is only translated about seven places in the Bible. And in Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 6, it says, "And when I passed by thee and saw thee weltering in thy blood, I said unto thee, though thou art in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, though thou art in thy blood, live." God was speaking of saving Shemites, his people, who by position in their covenant were sons of God. Verse 7, "I caused thee to multiply as that which groweth in the field. Thy breasts were fashioned, and thy hair was grown, yet thou wast naked and bare. Now, when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. Then I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine." Well, right here we see multiplication, just what we saw in Genesis. It speaks about Israel being the Lord's beautiful bride. "And thou renown, a Shem, went forth among the nations for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my majesty, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord. But thou didst trust in thy beauty and played the harlot because of thy renown, and pourest out thy whoredom on every one that passed by." So that harlot there, he was famous, was the seed of Shem, who were called to be sons of God, but had crossed and mixed with the world. the sons of man. Verse 16, and thou didst take off thy garments and made for thee high places, decked with diverse colors, and played the harlot upon them. The like thing shall not come, neither shall it be so. Thou didst also take thy fair jewels of my gold, and of my silver, which I had given thee, and madest for thee images of men, and didst play the harlot with them. So here you've got the apostate sons of God harlot mixing with men and creating those who are renowned in the world. How many of those do we have in Christianity today? The great men
of
God.
Brother, listen to what you said. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Listen to what you said about the silver and the gold. Is that exactly what famous renowned preachers today ordain themselves to be called a man of God?
Yeah, well, what they're doing are usurping God's word. They're
right.
Screwing it around so they can make money out of it. Yeah.
You know, Adam was created in man's image, and then he tells us, do not worship any graven image.
Yep.
Right? But the most dangerous God of all is man. Mm-hmm. And that's a... That's a real difficult one for people to get by. I've never walked past a statue and went, oh my gosh, I have to worship you. Never walked past a tree and said, and bowed down and said, oh, Gaia. Never happened. But I've never had one of those trees say, I'm going to be your God. But I've had men tell you, I'm going to tell you what to do. And these are men that aren't even paying you. So, you know, we have that natural, in us. We have that natural, carnality that insists we have to lord over one another. And that's why Jesus said, you know, we cannot be a prince of the world, a king of the Gentiles, but to be servants, opposite of our nature.
Amen.
Did I ever tell you about the Druid priestess? They worship trees.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know a whole lot about the Druid, but I know they're anti-God. Didn't they come out of the Celts?
They came out, England. Yeah. Yeah. Back in the medieval days.
Back in the day, huh? You got something, David?
I was just thinking that witches are, real witches are part of that nature thing, too. They're really big into the nature.
Is that the Wicca?
Wicca.
Yeah.
I think even Al Gore's into that. He worships Gaia. No, I mean, it's witch. I mean, he's in witchcraft, but he thinks Gaia is a his god, and it's Mother Earth or something like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of folks into that.
Did you just say Al Gore worships Gaia, like Mother Earth?
Yeah.
The same guy that released the Save the Planet videos.
Where it comes from.
Sorry, I found that funny.
Well, it's actually, this is the type and the shadow of all of these TV evangelists we've got out there that are steering the people away. These whole religions that are steering people away from the Word of God. Men of renown like John MacArthur and Charles Stanley and just pick one, you know, Kenneth, what's his name? Kenneth Copeland and Jesse Duplantis and all of those guys.
I think them are the giants, and I believe all that. But I still think there is a line of Cain that still is around in the earth a lot, you know, in the caves and everything, that are giants, you know, the same as what they were back then. You know, I'm not saying there's a whole bunch of them, but I still think there are some, you know, I don't know.
You mean there's a whole city of them somewhere? Or what do you mean? Because they can't procreate unless they have a light, you know, they keep on getting in the same line, right?
Yeah, well, I don't think they can procreate, but that's why I was thinking about the aliens and if they had some kind of forbidden technology where they mess around with the DNA. So, you know.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know either.
All I know is aliens are demons.
Because I agree. I agree, yeah.
Yeah, aliens and demons, because Christians, they don't like to be around Christians. They won't allow Christians in those areas where they're messing or dealing with humans. They won't allow Christians in there at all, because when a Christian goes in there, they have to go. I've seen that in, I've heard some guys talking about it on internet, that Christians, that the aliens can't deceive the Christians. They can't do that, but they can deceive everybody else because they're demons. Now, as far as the angels, the giants goes, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to have any effect at all on the end times prophecy part of it. Ain't going to affect me hardly any at all. I guess the biggest guy I ever saw was, many years ago. I can't remember the guy's name now. The basketball player. That guy was huge.
Is that the guy on Lucas McCain?
Oh, I don't know. What's a Lucas McCain?
Lucas McCain, that's that old Western, black and white Western. You must remember it.
I don't remember. I remember the name, but I don't remember the program. Yeah, Dave.
Michael, are you talking about Shaquille O'Neal?
No, it was before him. Way before him. Go ahead, Dave. You're muted.
I'm sorry. Years ago, when I still can, but I used to go to Norman, Oklahoma a lot to get trained by the post office, and we had a training facility there. And the University of Oklahoma is not too far, and they brought the girls' basketball team over once just to practice in our gym they had there. And I were up there watching them. And some of these short girls are on the sidelines. They didn't get out and play as much, but they were, they still got out and play. But the taller ones were mostly on the court. So I thought I'd go down and say, hey, you guys, tell the shorter ones, hey, you guys did a good job. Just kind of, thank you for being here. And I got down there, and these short ones are as tall as I was, or taller. And I'm 6'1", and that's when I felt, oh my gosh, I realized what height is. It's very deceiving. So. I guess my story, it's just a story that what your perception is of people and their height, all of a sudden you get up to them, sometimes they can be a lot taller than what you think they are.
Amen. It's the guy that used to play against Bill Russell back in them days. That's the old way on back in there. Yeah, go ahead, Willie.
Now, it says all these things were written, for our admonition. It also says that they are a type and shadow. So whether these people were giants physically or giants in the deceiving of the people, to where God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for that he also is flesh. And we see before then, a falling away from God. And it came to pass when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So when, man began to multiply and daughters were born unto them, the love of many, iniquity started abounding, the love of many started waxing cold. The sons of God who ought to have been loyal to God took unto them, worldly, women who were fair. And they took to themselves wives of all that they chose, not what God chose. They didn't seek any counsel from the Lord or anything like that. And, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You know, everything started trickling downhill. I can't tell you if these people were 8 foot 9, 10 foot 2, but I can tell you what they caused was a great falling away. And so much, you know, that God, you know, they were given specific names. The Nephilim were in the earth in those days and also after that. They seem to have taken on to themselves some type of title, just like they did with Babylon. You know, come, let us build a city. Let us make a tower, you know, that reaches unto heaven. Let us make a name for ourselves. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, the same were the mighty men that were of old. The same were the mighty men that were of old. And so we're looking at, you know, a persona. Whether if it's a height, whether if it's in, you know, the stature, or whether it is in the measure of wisdom, or whether it is in the object of worship. They took the glory of God and changed it unto, you know, the worship of corruptible men. They're four-footed beasts, you know, and creeping things, and, you know, however, you know, it goes. What you can see in there, though, is great men, men being worshipped, given great stature, you know, among men in the earth. You had David and you had Saul, you know, they looked at David as a very fair man. Saul, was a very good-looking man, you know, and his stature was a little, you know, he was a little taller than everybody else. He stood out in the crowd, and they chose him, you know, among, you know, the crowd, and they exalted him, and, you know, he became the downfall of Israel, you know. That little leavened the whole lump, you know, and brought great judgment upon all of Israel. You know, but David, you know, David was that, you know, redeemer, and brought Israel, you know, where God wanted them to be. But you know, I don't want to ramble on too much, but because I can go on and on all day about, you know, I looked at giants on YouTube and it seemed very convincing, and they found bones and this and that. I wasn't there. I can only take what is spiritually given to me. You know, if I was an eyewitness and I could say to you guys, yeah, I'm 5,000 years old. I was there. They were big, boy. but I can't do that, you know. So what I really want to really know from it is, what does it spiritually mean for me? You know, what can it do for me in the spirit? You know, how does it edify my spirit? You know, how does it give me a closer relationship with Jesus Christ? But I'm not negating anything else that's said. But I do see, the falling away of the people of God. And, you know, brother, if Nephilim were the birth of the abominations done because of the falling away of the sons of God, and God physically manifested it in that way and said, look, your abominations are great. You know what you're doing, and you went unto the daughters of men, and you committed these abominations, and you know they worship other gods. Therefore, your sons, you know, are an abomination to me. They are as freaks of nature, and I have rejected them. You know, I can understand their stature, you know, then. I can understand, you know, how, but I guess that's all I really got to say.
Okay. I like the type and shadow, because that's what we're also talking about here. If you went out on the streets and you asked just an average Joe walking down the street, who in your mind is a great Christian? Who's the giant Christian nowadays? And they're gonna name somebody that's on TV all the time, you know. and you'd hear the names of men that you know and I know don't even resemble a Christian, but they're touted as a Christian. Those are the men of renown that God talks about. John 15 verses 18 through 20 says, if the world hateth you, the world now, hateth you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember that the word that I said unto you, a servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Apostate Christianity is not hated because it's full of the word, is it? They're full of the world. That's why that the world loves them, is they're full of the world. John 17 and 14 says, I have given them thy word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. The purebreds of the pure word will be hated of the worldly church in the days to come. You can bet on it. That's the ones that are going to come against God's true people. The ones who are studying and preaching and teaching the true word of God are the ones, and they're not going to be men of renown. They're going to be the Davids that slew Goliath. Even though the giant was, I don't know, anybody ever figure out how big Goliath was? He's somewhere around 10 foot, what I understand. And little old David was just a teenager. But he trusted God, didn't he? And that's what you're going to see. You're going to see the little Davids running around in the end times, slaying Goliaths back and forth. Too many times we don't want to be rejected by the world. We want to fit in, you know. But I'm going to tell you something. Once you embrace the Word of God, and you go wholehearted for God, you're going to lose your friends. You're going to lose your family. You're going to lose your immediate family. You're going to lose it all. In a lot of instances, I'm not saying that's wholesale, but in a lot of instances, you're going to lose them all because you're not conforming to what they see on TV. You're not conforming to what that they see every day on TV as the Word of God, but you are following the tenets of Jesus by walking a holy life, in which the apostate Christianity doesn't even believe that you can walk a holy life. We're walking a holy life because we understand that it's Jesus working in us. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
I have a question concerning the Great Commission. It says, if you drink anything aught, it shall not harm you. This drinking, would it be something that you can actually see happening also, like a crime being happening? That doesn't mean you're going to go out and partake of a crime, necessarily. You're not going to do that, because you've seen this action happening. That doesn't mean you're going to partake of that. Or even if you hear a different word, you know it. It's a different word. And you're not going to partake of that different word. So if you drink any, it doesn't mean you're going to go drink the Javix in the bathroom there, or in the underneath the sink wherever you keep your Barcel or something. I don't know. Barcel's not good anyway. but it doesn't prevent your mom from giving you the old soap in the mouth if you're going to do some bad
work. Yep.
So I was just kind of wondering if that's what that means, you know. What? So, you know, if you happen to be browsing the internet and watching about the Nephilim. Like, there's a lot of garbage on there, and then they'll go into the UFOs, and then they'll have that secret base in Antarctica. So you don't want to go to all those places, because it's not profitable. And if you do happen to see something like that and drink it in, it's not going to affect you, you know. It's part of your Great Commission that it's not for you. It's ridiculous. You know how many people believe in UFOs? There's people at my work, they believe in UFOs. Yeah. Extraterrestrials, whatever, you know. And I'm going, okay, yeah, right on. You know, like, you can believe in anything, but it's not for me at all.
Yeah.
How many people believe in evolution because of all the science fiction movies now? You know, there's some really weird ones out there, I'll tell you that much. And but you know, there's sometimes they get some common sense. You know, one of them used to have these aliens that used to go, and they were like snakes, and they would and go into your neck, and they would take you over, and you'd be like an evil person then, you know. And I was going, wow, you know, like, how can they get it so right and then go wrong at the same time? Anyway, that's just a lot of weirdness, and it's not supposed to even add up at all for a person who's a child of God.
I know. A lot of it don't make a bit of sense. I'm trying to figure out what's wrong with Denny and Debbie.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, man! Y'all are having a terrible time landing that thing, man. I tell you,
we can't figure it out. We don't know what's wrong.
There it goes. There it goes.
Okay.
Oh my goodness! You got to rotate on. That's what you got on.
Yeah, we rotate it, and one picture is sideways, and the other's not. So.
Yeah. In the name of Jesus, we command that thing to come in to landing. Amen. Yeah, David, you had something?
Yeah, I was just looking this over on Genesis, to get back to it real quick. On Genesis 6:4, it talks about the Nephilim were in the earth of those days. And also that when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same were mighty men that were of old, the men of renown. Well, if we look at the mighty men of old also, the men of renown, I got to take in consideration here that this is before the flood. So we've got people living pretty long back then. And, you know, it would be pretty easy if you guys, these people back then, especially if they weren't that running close to the Lord, considering they weren't born again back then. They didn't have that. Not all of them had the Spirit of God within them, just very few. I think you had Enoch, and you had just, again, you're talking about remnant of people probably back then. So you have a lot of, maybe, I would assume, that's why God brought the flood. You have a lot of people that were not all that godly, so they probably were very, very carnal, very carnal. So if you put somebody that's carnal and let them live for a long time, well, they're probably going to have quite a bit of history there for people to, you know, think about them. They might have been pretty, you know, had a lot of stories about them that weren't really all that great, or been known for their wealth, or been known for their might and whatever. I don't know, but we're going back in a time where people lived for a while. So they would definitely have a history.
Not all of them lived back then. They, you know, like in the time of David, that was after the flood, you know, there was giants too, and all of Canaan was filled with the giants back then too. So
I was looking at this reference we're going with in Genesis here. Just that's why that statement came out, men of renown.
Yeah, well, we had the same effect after the flood. I think it's what Ken's talking about, where the men of sons of God came into the men of sons of men, you know. Go ahead, Billy. You're muted.
I'm still unmuted. Okay. This is to go with Dave. And I thought that, you know, your answer made a lot of sense, you know. Because if I was, you know, just a young 100 and I ran into an old 700, you know, his wisdom to me would be like, and when did that happen? And what did you see? And, you know, can you disciple me? You know, stuff like that. But this is what I find interesting. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, you know, men of renown, they got a lot of wisdom, you know, and that it was a delight to the eyes, you know, that type of knowledge is quite a delight, you know, to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired, you know. Who doesn't desire to be around a great man of God, you know, that we would consider great in our eyes? To make one wise, you know, we're seeking that, you know. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, you know. I'm of Cephas, you know. Where is it? She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And she gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. But that part before that, I just found that really interesting, you know, because that relates to when, you know, you can find that relationship in the fall of man. All of that right there is how we worship great men in the earth. You know, we want their fruit. We want their, you know, wisdom, you know, they're a delight to the eyes, you know, and I'm not just talking about the physical eyes, you know, they're a delight to the soul. And it mentioned a tree. And, you know, it says that the years of a man shall be as the tree. And where's that? Is that written in Revelations? Where's that written at? The years of a man shall be like that of a tree.
I don't remember, but I just read that here just the other day. I don't remember where it was.
A tree lives for a long time. Mm-hmm. Not all of them, but them great redwoods, man, they've been sitting there, you know, for quite some hundreds of years. And so I do find it really interesting that the whole God used a tree here. And you got fruits on this tree, and the very, you know, how Satan caused the tree to appear, you know, this great thing of renown, you know. And, you know, that's all I got to say, if anyone gets anything from that, but.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Well, talking about again, the worldly church is going to be loved by the world. Y'all know, did y'all see the deal about all of the preachers that went over and met with the Pope here a while back? I believe it was, it was a bunch of them. Copeland was one of them, and I don't remember who all went over there, but there was a bunch of them went over there. The people that love God and love the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God are going to be hated by the worldly church. Matter of fact, just like we're talking about a type and a shadow, just like what happened to Jesus is going to happen to God's people in the days to come. It's going to be the church that comes against them and kills them, murders them. It's going to be the church that does that. Because they've got a spirit of a religious spirit that won't allow them to accept the truth, and anything that contrary to what they believe has got to be, you know, of the devil. Amen. What else? Anybody got anything else? What about it, Denny? You finally landed that thing, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. I'm all ears tonight. I don't know. Yeah.
We've been talking about tonight, sons of God and the daughters of men in Genesis chapter 4. Is it 4? Chapter 6.
6:4.
The Nephilim. That word Nephilim, by the way, means giant. That's all it means. Just means a giant. So anyway, anybody else got something on what we're talking about here?
When I think of giants, I just think of big flesh. So
well, yeah, there you go.
What about some of the Nephilim that would be in government?
Plenty of them too, isn't
it? Like, if you think of it, there's a law now in the States and in Canada for same-sex marriage. And if you would go back to the days of ancient Greece and Rome, they used to have a goddess there or some god that was a goddess of love, and that was okay back then. And that deity they had was the practice of that. And you can also see that that's probably why this young man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 had a similar fornication to that, because he had something to deal with coming out of that religion that he used to be in. Because this was probably commonplace, that kind of practice back then. But now we don't have the statue, but we have that word that they worshipped back then about the type of fornication that they are allowing nowadays. And that's just going back to the old-time religion of Roman Greece. You know, statue's not there, and but the word for that demon is. Anyway, they're renouncing themselves to the old ways.
Yeah, you know, it's very disturbing to me. I came out of an era where all of that stuff was closet stuff. No, I didn't know anybody back then that, you know, that was that away, because they were all hidden, I guess. And now they've even erected an arch from Baal in New York City. Somebody was talking about that yesterday or today, I forget which. And it's just, it's craziness that's going on in this country today. And up in Canada too, and all over. As a matter of fact, all over the world, actually. Now, there are some countries that still have some semblance of sanity left. But for the most part, man, if you watch the news in America today, mainstream news, you'd think these people were nuts in this country. It's just crazy stuff going on. Go ahead, Missy.
My mom sent me this link to this little snippet of news article. Basically, the gist of it is if you leave a clear water bottle in your car, the sun can hit it, magnify it, and can start a fire. Because there's this guy that experienced that, and they tested it fire. I think he was actually a firefighter. So, so it's not good to leave an actual water bottle in your car because it could start a fire. Anyway, having said that,
wait a minute.
I have to scroll down.
Wait a minute.
It magnifies the sunlight coming in. I'm sorry, I didn't explain it. It magnifies the sun.
I had in my mind the water bottle bursting in flames.
I know. Okay, I know. Because like when I first saw it too, I'm sorry, I didn't explain that. Because that wasn't the main thing I wanted to talk about. So I was trying to get over it quick, but then I left you all hanging.
All right.
Yes. The sun coming shooting through it magnifies it, and it can start a fire. Anyway.
All right. Hurry up.
So having said that, I scrolled down and this was MSN news thingy jig or whatever. And there are two articles there that I glanced at enough to know that, okay, one article was about there's, I don't think it was in the United States, I don't remember it was, there was a couple that won a case that permitted them to put on a certificate the gender undecided, because they're, when their child grows up, they're going to allow their child to decide what gender that they're going to be. Anyway, that I was like, holy cow. Anyway, and then the other one was an article about Down syndrome children, and there's one country that's all but eradicated Down syndrome, and I thought, so I clicked on that, and the reason it is because of pre-testing determining if your child before it's born has Down syndrome, and a majority of people in Iceland, majority of women, they put it this way, I believe, terminate the pregnancy when they find out it's Down syndrome, and that's how they've all but eradicated Down syndrome in that country. I'm like, oh, Lord, help them.
Well, they didn't eradicate it. They just killed it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why. Well, that's why I don't read mainstream news or whatever usually.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're almost out of time. Has anybody got a subject for next week? Anybody got anything they want to talk about? Yeah, Tim.
Prayer for our family. You guys join us, or maybe you could help Sir Michael. Got a nephew that he's had trouble with demons for a long, long time. And his, I don't know, kind of step-granddad passed away, and they were pretty close, and he's kind of gone haywire. He attacked his mom and stepdad. He's in jail right now, and he's badly possessed, and he needs some deliverance. So if you would maybe help us pray for that.
Yeah, yeah. Now, who is this, Tim?
He's my nephew.
Okay. What's his name?
Bronson.
Okay. Well, all right. Lord, we just lift up Bronson to you, Lord. You know what's going on with him. In the name of Jesus right now, I command every tormenting spirit on that boy to leave him right now in Jesus' name. Father, I ask and I pray wherever he's at. You say he's in jail right now, Tim?
Yeah.
All right. Lord, I just ask right now that the Lord of the harvest sends somebody there that he'll listen to, and that you would grant repentance to the boy and deliverance and healing of his mind, soul, and body. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're sending the angels now to Bronson to minister to him. And we praise you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're doing a mighty work in Bronson. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else want to pray?
Thank you.
Yeah, Tim, you're going to see a miracle in that boy. I'm telling you. Woo, my. Yeah, that's going to be a good one. Bronson, what's your last name?
Carl.
Spell it. Bronson, well, I get it from Anna.
It's Carr.
Carr. Okay, I got you.
C-A-R-R.
Yeah, I got it. All right. I'll thank you, Lord.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Woo, my. We're going to see a miracle in that boy. You know, God's, is this a young guy?
Yeah, he's about 22.
Yep. I kind of figured that. I saw in a vision while I was praying, a young guy in this cell, and I saw a bright light come into that cell. So that's all I saw, but I know what it was. You're going to see some mighty things happen with that boy. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Okay.
Hey, Michael?
Yeah.
Did you get the email I sent last night about Denny's sister?
Oh.
You must not have got it, huh?
Joyce?
Yeah, you did get it.
That she died?
Yes, yeah. She passed away last night at 9:15, 15 minutes after we left.
Okay. So. Well, Judy told me. I didn't get it, but Judy told me.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, Judy.
Yeah, huh. She probably got it from somebody else.
Okay.
Oh,
okay. I don't know how that happened.
Anyway, we got the message.
Vanessa.
Vanessa, yeah.
Oh, from Vanessa. So, yeah, I've continued
that's prayer. Right.
They're not a believing family, so.
Lord, we just thank you that you've already sent your angels to minister to the family, Lord. We thank you for it, Father. We ask, Lord, that you touch one in that family that all of them would listen to, that he'd be the catalyst or she would be the catalyst that all of them would get saved from, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Okay, anybody else? My. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just ask and I pray that you just touch us all, Lord, to pray more, to give us a hunger for the Word. We thank you, Father, that you are straightening us out as far as your theology and stuff goes, Lord. We're not locked in on any of these fables and fairy tales that people tell all the time, that we're just locked in on you, Lord. It's nice to, sometimes it's interesting to listen to that junk, but Lord, it's a whole lot better to get in your Word, listen to that, listen to you talk to us, and it's awesome to do that, Father, and I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that the prayers that were offered up tonight are already being answered even as we speak, and I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us tonight with your presence. A lot of people talked tonight. A lot of people ministered to other people. It's just awesome, and I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for this little group of people here that love one another and that you're placing a great love for God's people in all of our hearts, Lord, wherever they may be, and I thank you for it, Lord. And I praise you, Father, that the next time we come together, it's going to be just the same. It's going to be just more love, more teaching, more revelations. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Give us a good night's sleep tonight, Lord, and give us some dreams and visions about the things to happen in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, all right. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Nice to see you all.
Bye. Bless you all.
It was an interesting
lucky
slop. All right. Bless y'all.
Good night, Joe.
Good night, Joe.
Hey.
Good night. Good
night.
Bless you, brother. It's good to see y'all.
Amen.
I'll kind of look for Jackie, too, but she didn't make it tonight. She's supposed to be in her new house tonight.
Oh,
yeah.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
Huh?
In Tennessee.
No, up in Pennsylvania. She moved up there close to Rob Miller when Rob's houses. So that's where she is. And I think that's just a stopping point for just a little while, and then she'll be down here probably. Good night, Barbara.
Amen.
Night.
Good night.
Good night, good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody. Like a slop.
Good night.
Good night, guys.
Good night, Nora and Joe. Good night. Y'all have a great day.
Good to be blessed.
All right, you too, brother. Good night, Barbara. Good night, Matt.
Good night.
See you, brother.